Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October 28th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced that checks and balance is absolutely brilliant and one of the great solutions to the problems we face today. That's why we're not for a revolution, but we are for the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. And speaking of a freedom-loving Friday, we got fantastic news for you if you haven't already heard. It turns out that all the Malfair Wildlife folks got acquitted. Yep, not guilty, all of them. We'll break down the details in seconds, but I always want to lead with the most important point. The lead attorney, Marcus Munford for Ammon Bundy, literally got tackled and tased in court. We got all the details just for you. By the way, just a really quick recap. We've been covering this more than any other talk show in the world. And we've had better guests, more inside information than anybody else. First off, we were at the rally. Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, with former Sheriff Richard Mack. We were at the rally when this thing all kicked off. Then they went into the refuge and we refused to go. And we've had Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Finicum and everybody else reporting ever since. We've had people testifying in court, Richard Mack and others. We've had the definitive on this the whole, absolutely the whole time, and it's no different now. Sheriff Richard Mack, just last week, had the opportunity to testify live in court on behalf of Ammon Bundy and others, telling their hearts, telling who they are, explaining the proper role of a legitimate constitutional sheriff, and more. And speaking of Richard Mack, welcome back, my friend. They're all not guilty. What do you say, sir?
Sam, it's just a great day for our Constitution and for American liberty and for the principle of jury nullification. When you have a jury who has never heard of these people, and if they have, it was probably in a very negative context, people in Portland, Oregon, who are generally quite liberal, literally nullify the laws that they were charged with, because when you look at the evidence, did these people at the occupation in Burns, Oregon, at the Maui Refuge Building, did they have guns on? Yes, they did.
Some of them did, yeah.
Yeah.
Ammon didn't, though.
And I even thought he did once, but I don't remember him having any.
I don't think so. Ammon didn't have a gun.
But they did announce that they had guns.
Correct.
At the very beginning. And I was appalled at that. I thought, oh, man, don't announce that. Don't say that. They shouldn't even have brought guns. That's what I would have told them. Don't. If you're going to do it, then announce to the world that you're not armed. So if anything goes down bad, then the world will know that you guys were not armed. And on the final day, I don't believe anyone was armed, including Leroy Finicum. I believe this is a pure case of, in fact, I said this after I testified on your show. There are two possibilities here. That the jury will look at these guys and say, you're radical white right-wing extremists, and we're going to send a message to the rest of you and your groups. Don't ever do this again, because this is what happened. Or they look at the government and they said, you guys have gone too far for too long, and we're sending the message to you.
All right, and I think that's exactly what happened, the second example, because it turns out there are 16 government infiltrators, government informants in the mix. And in the jury, in the court case, it came out the government, according to the judge, does not have to tell the defense who these provocateurs were. But it turns out that many of these government informants, these infiltrators, many of the 16 were involved in bringing weapons and training and organization. And in other words, the government pretty much led the gun usage in this whole scenario. And I think the jury just saw that and went, wait a minute. You're telling me the government really played the role of provocateur here, had 16 informants in the mix, were involved with gunplay as well, and now you're going to blame all that on the Patriots here? I don't think so. And I think that's what happened.
I think that had, as soon as you hear as a juror that the government sent in 16 undercover operatives.
But even in court, the defense can't even find out who those people are.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
because we don't know all the names of the 16 even at this point.
No. But we do know it was 16.
Yes.
I mean, that was brought up in court.
Yeah, that's the point. The mainstream press reported 15 yesterday, but I talked to a lead attorney who said 16.
See, I think, you know, Sam, if you had told me that after I testified, or if I had heard that from people there at the trial, I would have said, that's just Patriot bull.
And my response is right from the very beginning, the first day I was telling you that there was government provocateurs in there. I named several of them, but I didn't know how many. I guess there was 4, 5, 6, 7 in that range.
I guess I would have easily accepted 2 or 3. Anything after that, I would have said, nonsense. This complete and utter nonsense. And here it is, 5 times worse than what I thought.
And the other thing is this, if there was about 160 people in the beginning that even took over that thing, we don't even have a definitive number, but we're guessing it was close to maybe 200 or about a, if it was 160, 10% of them government provocateurs, Sheriff.
Yeah. You know, Sam, I've just been shaking my head the whole time. My heart and soul has run the full gamut of emotion. Last night, as you know, I am in Delta, Colorado, and we had a meeting with Jeanette Finnicum and her daughter, Lavoie's daughter.
Let's be clear, Jeanette was Lavoie's wife, right?
Jeanette is the widow of Lavoie Finnicum.
Right.
And we had a little dinner with them at the church before the meeting, and this is the first time I've ever met Jeanette in person. I've seen her on TV, and I've talked to her on the phone. Both you and I know Tara very well, and she attended our CSPOA certification training in Utah. She told me again last night how much she loved it and was so thrilled that she was there, that she was too tired to attend, and she almost didn't come because she was so tired, all her travels and selling their home at the time and taking care of her kids. And it's just been weighing on her, and the emotional ride that she's been on with her seeing her father on national television being killed. And it's been rough for her, and she almost didn't come, but she said, I am so glad that I came, and we really want to push this all the more. And then to be there when the texts and your calls and others started coming in to all of us. She has Jeanette, and Lavoie had 11 children. Their children were calling and texting her. We were getting news reports on people's iPhones and smartphones. And I said, wait, come on, this is too good to be true. Something's wrong here. Let's verify. Let's make sure we verify that this is true, that it's an acquittal for all of them. And I said, let's not go into to the meeting where we had about 100 people. And there was an undersheriff for the local county here and assistant chief of police. Both attended. Both said they were only going to stay until I finished. They stayed for a lot longer. They heard Jeanette speak and Tara and me. And they both told me afterwards that it was fantastic. But when Jeanette and all of this was confirmed and we had chills going down our bodies, Jeanette just broke down sobbing, went to her knees on the floor, had her head in, down between her knees, and she was just sobbing like a baby.
And I actually pegged exactly what she was going to say, didn't I, Sheriff?
Yes, you did. You quoted it. I mean,
I bring it up because it's the feeling that all of us have. Go ahead, sir.
Well, she said these men or these people. I can't remember which one she said.
She should have said thugs.
Yeah, these thugs. Let's see. Wait. Remind me how she put it.
She said basically that, you know what, my husband could have been coming home.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
My husband could be coming home with the rest of them, but they killed an innocent man.
Yeah.
Because all of them are innocent,
my
sir.
But then I want to tell you also what she said about the Bundys.
Hang tight. We'll talk about the Bundys. I also want to bring up one other point about this whole long saga we've been covering that's not even close to over yet. Sheriff Mack with us in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, all, and I repeat, all surviving defendants acquitted of charges in the Malfeer wildlife standoff. Now, let's be clear. Some of them took the guilty plea. Those guys have a different outcome. But the seven that stood strong, stood for their constitutional rights and freedoms. Marcus Mumford absolutely did a great job. Sheriff Mack there testifying did a great job. Ammon Bundy literally on the stand for 3 days testifying. The jury said the government's out of control. Literally 16 government provocateurs in the mix. And the government says we can't even find out who they are. The judge agrees. Even the defendants can't know. The defendant's attorneys were basically saying, hey, we need to know, because if they were armed to the teeth and literally training in this gunplay and these gun accusations, we need to know who they are. The government said no. So we know some, but not all, of the government provocateurs. Now, right before the pause, Richard Mack was telling us the story. Not only did he testify in court last week, but he was with Jeanette Finnicum last night when the news broke. Jeanette Finnicum, the widow of LaVoie Finnicum, who got killed, as you know, by the government, literally fell down crying, and she said, my husband could have been coming home. Wow, what a poignant reality check, ladies and gentlemen. But she had more to say about the Bundys. Sheriff?
Yes, and that's what I was confused about. I was thinking about what she said about them, and then I was, I've got to write that down, exactly what she did say, because that is word for word what she said, Sam. My husband should have been coming home right now, and then she exclaimed that she was so grateful that the Bundys got to go home to their families. And I guess that's not reality yet.
No, sir, it's not. And that's what the big battle for Marcus Mumford was about. The lead attorney, right after the verdict, he basically said, hey, we need to have them released now. The judge said no. He said yes, by law they have to be released. She said no, there's pending charges in Nevada. He said yes, but the arrest warrant was improper in that regard. He started to raise his voice. She said, don't yell at me. He said, I'm not yelling at you. I'm talking about a point of law here. Next thing you know, the federal government marshals surrounded Marcus Mumford, the lead attorney, literally tackled him, tased him, handcuffed him, and arrested him. By the way, he's out now, but the point is it was absolutely mayhem in the court. Then the judge ordered the court cleared, sir.
Well, she lost control, and I'm not surprised. And I think it just shows that she was upset about the verdict, because she was pushing for a guilty verdict all along. She was not fair. She was inappropriate. She was not an impartial referee, as to what she's supposed to be. And for her to do that to this man, Marcus Mumford, is ridiculous. Also, it shows one other thing, Sam. It also shows how dedicated he was. And it also dispels some of the patriot bull when it comes to having an attorney. This man dedicated himself and his life to the Bundys, to Ammon. He was specifically Ammon's attorney. And I'll bet you $10 to a donut that Ammon Bundy will tell you the same thing.
I agree with that. We're going to find out, though. Ammon will be on with us in not too long. We'll have the breakdown straight from his mouth.
Yes. Yes. And I would really like to talk to Ammon and Ryan and Shauna Cox. However, I would really like to talk to somebody on that jury. I want to know what they were thinking when they did these verdicts, and so quickly, when you're talking about five.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of an insight into that. First off, it was 9 women and 3 men on the jury. It took them 5 hours, is all, to acquit all of them. And basically the issue was that they said, hey, you know what, your Second Amendment's not in the battle here. You have a right to your Second Amendment and all those kind of things. The fact that they had guns doesn't make them guilty. What the reality was is, did they form a criminal conspiracy to prevent government bureaucrats from doing their job? And the jury just said, you know what, to us it just doesn't rise to that level. They didn't know. In fact, if you want to talk about a conspiracy, the government 16 agent provocateurs, they're involved in a conspiracy, really, to escalate this thing and take down and create convictions. The judge, what's her name, Anna J. Brown?
Yes.
Is it Brown?
I think so.
It's Anna J. something. I think it's Brown. Anyway, bottom line, she literally participated in it. By the way, she manipulated the truth. I'll give you an example. The government had the chance. What's that called when they occupy land? It's called reverse. There's a word for this.
Adverse possession.
All right, adverse possession. So Ammon Bundy said, listen, if we go in there and sit there long enough based on adverse possession, we can own the land. and take it back from the government. Well, anyway, the long story short is the government, Anna J. Brown in this case, allowed the government to explain why that was supposedly illegal, but did not explain, not allow Marcus Mumford, Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, and others to explain to the jury why they believed that it was legal and was appropriate.
Right.
So, wait a minute, the jury doesn't get to hear both sides? Well, that kind of manipulation took place the whole time. By the way, Kevin, Florida, CSPOA director, wants to quickly chime in with a point. Go, Kevin.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Excellent, sir.
Good, Kevin.
Hey, you know, I'm excited as everybody else is about this. I think this is great news. But I think we need to take this excitement and momentum that we have built up, and we need to do the same thing for the Hammond family.
Amen to that, my friend. Sheriff?
Well, you know, last night in Angus McIntosh's presentation, he showed that if someone ever starts a fire, then they can be charged for illegal burning. This is exactly to the point and addresses the charges leveled against the Hammond. Then the very last line, and Angus said, their attorney, the Hammond's attorney, must not have read the fine print, because then it says at the very bottom, but you can never be charged criminally if you're doing this burn on your own allotment. And so this was the Hammond's property. And so
the Hammonds need Marcus Mumford.
Yes, exactly. And they have got to address the point. And I believe this needs to go to the Supreme Court, because it was the Ninth Circuit that said to go ahead and send the Hammonds back to prison, for which they had already served their sentence and for which they had already paid $400,000 fine.
Amen to that. I don't mean to cut you off, Sheriff, but I know you got to fly at this break. Do you have anything else you want to tell America before we let you fly? You got a lunch,
no,
breakfast?
I can actually go one more.
So. Oh, good. All right, stay there then. Okay. So one of the other points that I wanted to make.
I'm going to pop off here, buddy.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Great point about the Hammonds. We do need to keep that in the focus. Somehow the government always manages to derail our discussions, Sheriff. We do need to get back to the fact that this was about the Hammonds in the first place, and now Ammon and others should be able to absolutely advocate for the Hammonds very effectively. Now, the people did not get to go home, even though they're not guilty, because they say there's pending Nevada charges. The Nevada case is supposed to start like February the 4th. It's a separate trial in Nevada early next year, and we'll see what happens with that. Now, I want to bring up something else that I want to highlight that I think is really interesting, Sheriff. I'll bring it up. We'll take the break, and you, and then I want Kurt to respond to this after the break. And that is this. You know, out of this whole thing, the government wants you to believe that you've got frothing at the mouth, armed to the teeth, ready to use force, crazy, extreme, belligerent, white, racist patriots just going berserk over an antiquated document called the Constitution. And since those people are so whacked out crazy, we've got to stop them before they create a revolution and ruin the world. That's the narrative from your government, from your mainstream press. However, that's absolutely a lie. The only violence that's taken place, the only hostility, the only force that's taken place is when the government literally killed Lavoie Finicum, when the government literally tackled and tased an attorney in court, and I've got more. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Jury deliberations were briefly interrupted on Tuesday in the Portland, Oregon federal trial of Ammon Bundy and five other land rights activists accused of conspiracy, when trial judge Anna Brown was asked for a ruling regarding a jury member's conflict of interest. One member of the panel, identified as Juror 4, sent a handwritten note to Judge Brown asking the question, can a juror, a former employee of the Bureau of Land Management, or BLM, who opens their remarks in deliberations by stating, I am very biased, be considered an impartial judge in this case? The self-identified biased panel member, Juror 11, admitted during jury selection that he had been a ranch tech and firefighter for the BLM for a period of 4 years, roughly 2 decades ago. Bundy and his co-defendants have been in an open conflict with the BLM for years, culminating in the protest occupation of the National Wildlife Refuge outside of Burns, Oregon, earlier this year. Bundy and several others also face an impending federal trial in Nevada on charges arising from the April 2014 standoff in Bunkerville, during which the BLM was compelled to return cattle the agency illegally confiscated from the Bundy family. Assistant U.S. Attorney Ethan Knight, one of the prosecutors in Portland, complained that the question about the impartiality of the BLM employee was improper. Defense attorney Per Olson maintains that the admitted bias on the part of the panelist has potentially tainted this jury and requested that he simply be dismissed. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, Richard Mack, breaking it all down, ladies and gentlemen. Let me make this very clear. All surviving defendants acquitted of charges in the Malheur wildlife standoff. Ammon and Ryan Bundy, the Bundy brothers, and five other defendants were cleared of all criminal charges relating to their 41-day peaceful protest occupation. Now, I want to make this very clear. So it was a peaceful protest. Ammon literally went into meetings like, you know, high school gyms and sat in meetings with his cowboy hat on, unarmed. He literally left the wildlife refuge several times and went home to spend the night with his family. They came and went as they pleased. The sheriff had the opportunity to meet with him multiple times. Ammon Bundy and crew wanted to meet with the sheriff, wanted to meet with public officials, wanted to meet with the FBI, wanted to meet and discuss and resolve. And, well, we have the truth, acquitted. That's the great news. However, I maintain that the protesters were absolutely peaceful, Sheriff. And the only violence we have is the government literally back in the days at the Bundy Ranch tased Ammon Bundy, literally caused violence and trouble and pointed sniper rifles at innocent civilians. And then we fast forward to now. The government created an unnecessary belligerent takedown and murdered Lavoy Finicum, then lied about the videos, lied about the details. They got caught doing it. Now, even in court, they tase an attorney because he's saying, you know what, they need to be released. Let me show you the documentation. Why, Your Honor? And the judge just saying, no, I'm not releasing him. And so the attorney gets a little bit agitated, raises his voice. Maybe he shouldn't have done that. But to literally surround him by government federal thugs and to literally tackle him to the ground, tase him, and handcuff him just shows the only violent people here, sir, are the out-of-control, belligerent government. Sheriff?
Yeah, let's not forget Judge Brown's counterpart, Governor Brown, who is running for re-election right now, and she's the one that kept calling for the exaggerated takedown of the occupiers, saying that they're costing us millions of dollars and we need to take these people down. It was her inflammatory rhetoric that was getting a lot of press and it was putting pressure on the FBI, and she put the pressure on the Oregon State Police to use the tactics that they did. So we have two Browns that are in charge of a lot of this violence. And, Sam, I think your point is really spot on, because the government keeps saying, well, we're going to stop you radical extremists, and you're promoting violence, and you're domestic terrorists. And yet, show me one act of violence from any of these people and from any of the occupiers or from any of the people at Bundy Ranch. No one at the Bundy Ranch went up to any federal agent or to any person, and especially this middle-aged woman, and picked her up and slammed her down on the pavement like the government did, like the BLM officer did. No one tased anybody. No one sicked a dog on the people like they did Ammon and some others. David Bundy was arrested, taken into a facility in Henderson, beat up and released and thrown out on the street.
There's been no violence except for your government, sir.
Correct.
None.
Your point is very well taken. The hypocrisy of this government to say that we're trying to protect people from these horrible domestic terrorists. And, of course, Harry Reid on national television called me and the others there at the Bundy Ranch domestic terrorists. And yet I still look at the Bundys, and I still look at everybody that was there, even armed militia people. No one was ever hurt, and no one was even ever threatened.
And the only reason the armed militia people were there is because the government was pointing guns, sniper rifles, at innocent civilians.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the whole attitude and the reason that I went to the Bundy Ranch is because I was not going to sit by and watch another Ruby Ridge or Waco. And that was really the rallying cry. This was really kind of a remember Ruby Ridge and remember Waco thing. So let's get out there to Bunkerville, Nevada, and be there in numbers so that we can prevent another federal government slaughter.
Now, we have a pattern of federal government belligerence big time. Now, listen to what Marcus Mumford said right when he came out. They finally let him go. He came out. They captured him on video right when he went out of the court. And here's what he said. Listen to this. I said, if the marshals have something to say about it, let's see what orders they have. Let's see what paperwork they can produce to take them into custody again, Mumford told the media following the assault. Next thing I know, they took a hold of me and were talking about how I was resisting arrest. So they literally, twisting my legs, they forced me to the ground and they tased me. Now listen to this. For being on the receiving end of a gratuitous act of extreme violence, they said Mumford was, listen, cited. Yeah.
Wait.
For disorderly conduct, listen to me.
Yeah.
And resisting a lawful order. So now Mumford's cited, resisting arrest, okay. Now he's got a charge.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Oh, gosh. Well, Sam, I really can't wait until the video is released of his whole situation, because he might be suing the heck out of that, the whole group, and including the judge. And
what this means, though, is that the Finicum case can go forward. She can sue the government for murdering an innocent man. It also means the Nevada case is in a lot better situation. Pete Santilli also had his charges dropped. He wasn't one of the seven, but basically it was this. Is it a peaceful protest or a conspiracy, hostile act against the government? The jury said peaceful protest, folks, not a government conspiracy, as your belligerent government said so. It turns out that the government created their own conspiracy of provocateur actions, and when they lost the case, they tased the attorney that beat them. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I really think that the emotions right then were a vendetta against the Bundy side and against the attorney who just won. No judge should be arresting an attorney for demanding paperwork for his client who they're trying to keep in jail when he just was exonerated. No, I think that's very legitimate, and I'm proud of Marcus Mumford. And there you go, Patriot community, a what you call an officer of the court who is loyal to the court going to jail for his client. You know, there's so many lessons here, Sam, and they're very powerful, and you're pointing out a very powerful one when it comes to the violence and extremism of our government, who comes out to say that we're trying to protect people from extremists and violence. Man, this is just so right in the center of the bullseye. This judge, she was not after the truth. She was after a conviction. And when I was on the stand and I asked her, can I explain my answer? And she refused to allow me to explain and present the truth. She did not want the truth. She wanted.
They didn't want this to be about the proper role of a constitutional sheriff either.
Oh, no. No, no. And I, Sam, I am so proud and so absolutely elated that the court record will show me testifying about the CSPOA and the constitutional sheriff and the duties of all sheriffs across this country. I can't wait to get that transcript.
Yeah, basically the judge said, Mr. Mumford, you need to not yell at me now or ever again. And he was just agitated because he's like, listen, this is a matter of court proceeding. If they've got charges to hold them, I need to see the paperwork. I'm their defense attorney, and I got to... And they literally tased the guy for it. Shauna Cox was there, and she said she's livid about the way Mumford was taken down and treated.
Sam, you also have to understand, when she said, don't yell at me, she is saying, I don't have anything, and I'm embarrassed, so I'm going to deflect the whole thing to back to you, that you better not be yelling at me.
Now, they're trying to say Mumford became agitated. But let's talk about what agitated means. There's no threat. This is where the government goes off the rails all the time. Just because someone's agitated and going, look, my clients need to be released, Your Honor. Let's talk about this. Hey, wait a minute. And he raises his voice a little bit in the emotional reality. That doesn't deserve a takedown, a handcuffing, and a tasing.
No.
And this is the point that the government is out of control violent. They're crazy. And then they cite, the only reason that they cite him with something is because then it's harder for him to sue or to get justice for what was done to him. That's why they do that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Now everybody's embarrassed and trying to save face. And, we have to charge you with disorderly conduct. And, you were agitated. So, you know, a lawyer being agitated in court, that's a dime a dozen.
And no question.
And a judge to not realize that. And say, you know what, Your Honor? Okay, I'm not agitated. Now, will you produce the paperwork against my...
We're flat out of time. Thanks, Sheriff.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election Day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you, Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
Tune in to Liberty News Radio's Political Roundtable 2016, special broadcast of election night coverage on Tuesday, November 8th. Features seasoned talk stars, newsmakers, and political commentators together in a live radio and video simulcast, providing news the networks refuse to use. Tune into our live presentation on election night, Tuesday, November 8th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on LNR's affiliate stations, internet stream, Roku channel, or the Unlimited Listen line. Visit LibertyNewsRadio.com. Jesse Lee Peterson, Vice Presidential Candidate Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, Larry Pratt, Keith Allen, Richard Mack, and surprise guests will report the significant events of this historic election. Liberty News Radio provides the opportunity for constitutional conservatives to gather and share in the excitement when the next president of the United States is announced. Tuesday night, November 8th, election night coverage. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
I got several more facts on this, but let's have Kirk Cosby chime in with some of his thoughts. Then we'll get to some of the final details of this story this hour. The bottom line is, though, man, all these defendants were cleared of any wrongdoing. They're not released yet because there's some pending charges in Nevada. Even the attorney got tased. The only one committing violence here, and this is kind of the point that I wanted you to respond to first and then anything you like, Kirk Cosby, is that the only violent group here is your out-of-control, unconstitutional, rogue agents in government, sir.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, Sam, it's just, you know, a snafu situation, normal, all fouled up. But you know, you got to look at this situation here and say, look, now we get all these people that tell us stuff like, oh, we could never win. There's no hope for doing things within the court system or within the, you know, legal system. We might as well just go ahead and get our guns and start, you know, taking America back that way. Well, this certainly, I guess you could say, flies in the face of that. And now, you know, at least when you look at the whole real outcome, you know, it's true that they've been acquitted, as we say, and yet, like the attorney, I feel like, well, then why aren't they free? But, you know, the bottom line is there's more court cases for them to deal with. And I was trying to figure out if there's ever been a case where an attorney was tased in court. You know, I think it might be a Guinness Book of World Records situation here too, Sam. I mean, first time ever.
Yes, it's out of control, Kurt. And the thing is, we got to remember a couple of things here. There was a jury of 9 women and 3 men return not guilty verdicts after only 5 hours of deliberation, Kurt.
Yeah, now, I was reading some of the reports from the L.A. Times, and of course, you know, they're going to be right-wing, you know, kind of constitutional kind of articles, of course, from the L.A. Times. But I thought it was interesting, one of the things that they reported about was that during the whole trial, as well as the deliberation, they were being surrounded from the outside, Sam. Did you hear about what was happening on the outside?
Yeah, that's what
I
mean by this government provocateur stuff is just beyond imagination. At every turn, the government escalates, provokes,
well,
manipulates.
Yeah, but in this case, what I'm talking about is when the jury was inside doing its deliberating and when the court case was going on, according to the L.A. Times, the building was being surrounded.
by government thugs, right?
Well, in this case, no, Sam. What you're talking about is that you had a number of people that were outside carrying signs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they were basically saying, hey, Google jury nullification. And, you know, so what they were doing is basically helping the jury realize its power. You know, it says during the trial, this is the LA Times piece, by the way, during the trial, flag-waving supporters, some in boots and cowboy hats, marched around the courthouse, you know, kind of like the walls of Jericho or whatever, in part hoping jurors might see one of their signs stating, quote, Google, colon, jury nullification, quote, effectively urging jurors to acquit the defendants out of a belief that the law under which they are charged is wrong. You know, at least in my opinion.
And that's great news, but if you highlight it too much, the government will come back in some way and say they tampered with the jury. We got to call this whole thing off and start over. Be careful. But you're right.
Well, you're right. But isn't it, you know, amazing to see the power of the jury?
Yes,
but
it
then,
is.
You know, and then the lawyer who said, hey, we got to go now. And yet the judge keeps the same guys still, you know, in jail. And that's the problem with our, quote, justice system.
Yeah, they say Ammon and Ryan Bundy also face prosecution in Nevada relating to their 2014 Bundy Ranch protection of the cattle there. And so the Bundy brothers and the father, and they have a trial that's supposed to start February the 6th in Nevada. And that's the two brothers and the father are among 19 indicted there, Kurt. So that's something to note, that we'll be watching that case Feb 6th as well. Now, a couple of other tidbits to note in this. And we've kind of mentioned it, but I want to highlight this issue again. The jury of 9 women and 3 men rendered a verdict of not guilty in 5 hours. Not very long for the complicated case that it was. When Ammon Bundy alone testified on the stand for 3 days in his own defense. Now, the unanimous acquittals, Kurt, covered all the charges except for one charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a theft of government property. That's a charge against Ryan Bundy for removing cameras that were mounted at the refuge. No verdict was on that. They're not going to gain a whole lot of ground because they say that he... theft of government property. He didn't steal anything. He took the cameras down so they didn't spy on them, but he didn't take it anywhere. That's going to be a tough road of hope for the government, but they left that somehow on the table still. That's the only piece left.
You know, I guess Ammon at first appeared wearing a suit, but then he later resorted to wearing blue jail scrubs. I guess the LA Times piece says in protest. Mr. Bundy said his attorney, this is still again reading from the LA Times piece, J. Morgan Philpott, desires to appear as he is, a political prisoner, not free to dress as if presumed innocent. Bundy also
and
complained.
And see, that's the point. He should be presumed innocent, but they basically had judge, jury, and executioner before he ever got the chance for the jury to say that he was innocent. Ammon Bundy trying to highlight that. Now, Mr. Philpott, interestingly enough, is one of the support attorneys for Marcus Mumford, just so people understand.
Yeah, and the article says Bundy also complained that he'd been molested like an animal at the county jail. So anyway, jail life as we've
come to
know it.
Of course, unless you're Hillary.
Yeah, good point.
Then it's a little different, isn't it, sir?
Never get to jail, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm seeing. You know, there's a number of reports about it. It's interesting. There's some here in Utah, some elsewhere. You know, they say the LA Times piece quotes some lady named Kieran Suckling. They say she's the executive director of the Center for Biological Diversity. Now, we got to have one of those for sure. But she says, people are going to get killed because of this verdict, because this jury has just given militias the green light to go after federal facilities with rifles. Anyway, Ms. Suckling, you are...
You got a lot of manipulation going on here, folks, even still. Yeah. But all I can tell you is this is good news, and I agree that it's great news, but we need to not celebrate too quickly, Kurt, because they still have that one pending charge. They also still have them in custody, and we still have the Nevada trial coming up. And so, I mean, I appreciate this win. I think it'll set the stage for a reality check on belligerent government. We know for a fact the only violent people involved so far is government. Rogue agents, I should say, within government. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see what happens in Nevada. And all I'm telling you is that I pray for a successful outcome here. And no doubt this 9 women, 3 men jury nullifying government belligerence and literally virtually a fully informed jury here. I don't know how...
You know
how much they understood the principles, but that's what it's turned out to be, Kurt.
Yeah, and the other thing, I'm trying to hunt for a story that says that there were 16 government provocateurs.
Buddy, they're not going to tell you that. They're also not going to tell you that Marcus Mumford got tased. I looked through every story, and that's not anywhere.
Yeah, I see one, you know, report from Raw Story, OregonLive.com, Bearing Arms, In-Depth, the Seattle Times.
Yeah, see, they want to make it like, they got off on some technicalities because of a whacked-out jury, but, man, they were armed to the teeth. They're still frothing at the mouth. Now the whole nation needs to be fearful if they get released, kind of an idea. Okay, yeah. These people just will not report the truth. In my opinion, well-known, bar-certified attorney gets tased in court by extreme government vigilantes, is what it ought to say. Something like that, Kurt. But it's nowhere in the mainstream press that I see.
You know, at least when I do the attorney tased, I get these reports or these results, but I don't see, like, for example, one of them is this L.A. Times piece, but I don't see anything in the story about it.
No.
You know.
That's why I say they don't really want to report reality, Kurt.
Surprise.
Just shows they protect the government literally at every turn. That was an hour one breakdown. Boy, do we got more for you second hour. And you say, Sam, why are you talking so much about this? The election's in a couple of days. I get it. But we've been talking about the elections ad nauseum until now, if you will. By the way, Donald Trump up, gaining ground big time. He's ahead in Florida. He's ahead several places. And the big lead the government and the mainstream press manipulated you to believe evaporated. As Hillary melts down and the Donald takes control, time will tell. Do you believe the polls or do you believe what we're hearing on the ground? That's the reality check. Do you believe it's all over and you're going to be turned away from the polls by your manipulative government and media? Or are you going to stand up and vote for Trump? All right. Anyway, quick pause. Hour one of the can, two coming up. This nation shall endure.